Good afternoon, and welcome to episode the Full Press NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Biggs. With me, as always, he is the social media manager for all things fullpresscoverage.com and the managing editor of Full Press Chiefs, Braden Holacek. What's going on, Braden?
Doing really well today. We got a little bit more closer to draft season. We were talking before the show, getting some more draft tape watch. So really excited to start really honing in solely on the draft after more free agency waves come in. But yeah, I can't wait to get to the topics we have in store for today.
First one, we got to talk about Justin Fields. The Bears sent Justin Fields to the Steelers. First question for you: what does this do for Justin Fields with the ability to possibly learn behind Russell Wilson?
I think this is a really good spot for him. Obviously the biggest thing that Justin Fields has had to deal with is kind of accuracy and how up and down that's kind of been so far in his career. We know he can run really well. We know he has the athleticism to kind of escape and extend plays, but that accuracy and throwing the ball down the field, as much as Russell Wilson has kind of fallen away from his ceiling a little bit, that's something he can still deliver. More than any other attribute, I think right now is obviously the downfield accuracy. His deep ball, over the last decade or so, is always one of the best. So to me, it's kind of just really working on, throwing mechanics and kind of those fundamentals as far as learning behind Russell Wilson.
I like Fields for the simple fact that tools wise, he has every physical attribute that you want in a quarterback: mobility, arm strength, speed. Where I see room for some sort of development, very little as far as pocket awareness, very little as far as being able to read progressions, very little as far as accuracy. Do you think that, two-part question, the Steelers will invest in Russell Wilson over the next couple of years to kind of get him as the starter? Also, do you think that they should apprentice Fields, give him a couple of years on the bench to kind of get right?
Yeah, I think I'll start with that question, the second question first. I think they definitely should give him a couple years. Believe they'll have to decide on his fifth year option after acquiring him here sometime over the next month and a half. But even if they don't pick that up, they can kind of sign him to maybe like a new 2 year deal. Maybe not the exact same money, but maybe something similar to what Jordan Love got last offseason from Green Bay. Kind of opportunity to earn more once he gets more time. But yeah, I think they should definitely let him stick around. And it seemed like, based on the reporting, this is where he wanted to be all along. There was maybe a handful of other teams interested that already had an established quarterback, but I think he'll want to stay in Pittsburgh and be given a chance here in the next couple few years. But yeah, as far as committing to Russell Wilson, I could definitely see Pittsburgh doing that, knowing their kind of history and makeup. They're obviously not someone that wants to make so many changes in a short span, so I think they'll want to at least kind of tie their wagon to Russ and see if he can just finish his career there in Pittsburgh.
As someone who has followed the draft extensively, were you a fan of Fields coming out? Fan of Fields coming out?
I was, yeah. I had him as my quarterback too that year. I really thought kind of just the buzz we got of Zach Wilson to the Jets at two, it seemed like to me, I thought the Niners were trading up for Fields when they made that big jump up to three, ultimately took Trey Lance. So I thought San Francisco would have been a nice spot for him. I still thought he could have turned things around there in Chicago. The thing with me that I really enjoyed was, we talk about the lack of accuracy and downfield throwing ability right now in the NFL, but some of the plays he was making in college, I just thought there was so many there that he could offer you that wasn't necessarily going to be poached out of him. So I thought that upside was definitely there, but just never reached it as a passer with Chicago.
I liked what he could be, and I think that there's still time. So it's one of those things where we'll see how it plays out. What teams do you feel will help themselves most in the free agency process?
I think I definitely have to start with there's a couple different areas that I'll go to. This one is more of a rebuilding team. Obviously, not expected to be a Super Bowl contender right away, but I really like what New England's done. They re-signed a lot of guys. I think some of these are more just maybe low impact re-signings, but I think being able to bring Josh Uche back when he had bigger offers out there from other teams, I think that's good for this defense that's still kind of young in spots up front. Michael Onwenu at right tackle, getting the kind of money that he did to stay as the right tackle there, I think that's huge re-signings. And we talked a little bit about Jacoby Brissett last week. I just think that's a perfect kind of bridge quarterback who knows, obviously, the Patriots building, being there already, can obviously play and take some time away from maybe a rookie if they need to develop further, assuming they select one at third overall. So I really like what New England's done as kind of a team that's resetting their foundation after moving on from Bill Belichick and giving Gerard Mayo at least a chance to kind of develop further with some of these guys. So New England's kind of the first team that I'll think about. And then Houston, as far as another team that I think could be right in the mix again, top there, right in the mix again there for the top of the AFC in the playoffs. I love CJ Stroud, but they've really done a good job, I think, beefing up the trenches. Danielle Hunter is a tremendous signing for them, kind of a hometown guy coming back to Houston. And really, I think you look at just all the moves they've made to kind of surround Stroud. It's really made them a more well-rounded team, and they're trying to do the best they can with the quarterback on a rookie deal to really solidify themselves.
I would go, one of them would be the Chargers for a couple of reasons. Do you have a tight end in Will Disley who, not flashy, but effective? Most importantly, more than anything else, Gus Edwards. He's the anti-Austin Eckler as far as third and short. He'll get the first down. On the goal line, he'll get the first down. The Chargers under Harbaugh have now changed the mentality of what they want to accomplish. No more fancy, intricate plays that go sideline to sideline. They want to get downhill on you. They want to get the ball vertically. And the fact that they literally retool their entire room as far as the wide receivers, they let their two best wide receivers go. It's one of those things that signals a culture change to me. Now, conversely, which teams do you think hurt themselves?
I'm going to stick right in the AFC South, and I feel like I've mentioned this team a lot lately, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are such a head scratcher to me. I do like a couple trench moves they made with Mitch Morse and Eric Armstead, known commodities as veterans that you can get what you're probably going to be expecting from them week in and week out on the interior of offensive line or defensive line. But we've talked so much about Gabe Davis. To me, was a buyer beware wide receiver in this free agent class. I think he could maybe help them as far as a blocker compared to what they had. But it's just such a weird fit to me as far as what Doug Peterson wants to do offensively. You add in losing Calvin Ridley to the rival Titans, and you got to find, probably another speed guy for Trevor Lawrence, whether it's still in free agency or in the draft. So, to me, the Jaguars are acting like a team that is solidified as a consistent division winner. But I think right now you could argue that they're third best team in the division for me behind Houston and Indy. I think one other team that I'll mention that I'm really kind of shocked with in the NFC side of things, I have to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I think sometimes you don't have to be too over aggressive to really fix your team, but the fact they've done very little, Jerry Jones kind of mentioning this was going to be an all-in season. I just think Cowboys, as much as they continue to stay stagnant, they're losing more and more steam in the NFC. And obviously, as long as I've been alive, they always feel like a perennially screwed team as far as their Super Bowl chances go. But it just seems like so many other teams are catching up to them in the NFC.
Playing the NFC, I would go with the San Francisco 49ers, where, yes, they were super close to beating the Chiefs, but they tried to address their pass rush issue with signing Leonard Floyd to a 2-year deal, which is fine. He's 32 years old, but is this the guy you think is going to be a competent bookend for Bosa? And they went with Yetur Gross-Matos of the Panthers. 2-year deal. About 12 million guaranteed ish. The inability to him and Patrick Mahomes. I know that he is the best quarterback in the game right now, but They had nothing coming from Chase Young's side except for that one play, which ultimately doomed them. They haven't done enough where I think that they'll get back to the Super Bowl. I think that everything broke right for them this year, as far as health, as far as when they played certain teams win. And this was the opportunity this year to capitalize. I don't see it from them. Speaking of, when we come back from break, we'll definitely hop around the league and discuss the players who are still unsigned and where they should end up. But that's after the quick timeout. You're listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Hollinger. Braden, who are a couple of the free agents still remaining that one surprise you, and two, where would they make good fits?
I think one that still surprises me on the defensive back market. I guess there's a couple of big name safeties that I'm really interested in. Justin Simmons, I think we both know from his time in Denver and in the AFC West, the ball production was just pretty insane for him year in and year out as a safety. So has the ball production history, which is hard to replicate year after year as a defensive back. I still really like his instincts as far as how those have been able to help him make a lot of plays on the back end as he continues to get older. So Justin Simmons is a little bit older safety I'm kind of interested in. I think a younger safety that maybe not a lot of casual fans know that heavily, but Julian Blackman coming out of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll see if he resigns there or goes somewhere else, but out of Utah had a really interesting profile coming into the NFL. Made some really savvy plays on the back end for the Colts. So those are a couple safeties that I'm interested in. And I think one other name that I'll mention for now, I would kind of look at the wide receiver realm. And for me, I'm just really going to be fascinated to see where Mike Williams goes after his release. The injuries have obviously been a huge factor, but this is a guy that can still make some jump ball situations, I think 70-30 or 80-20 in his favor. So if you get him, I think in a quarterback that get him with a quarterback that can be, really precise, I think, with the deep ball. I think that's a spot for him that he doesn't have to necessarily be perfect. He can hopefully still be as healthy as possible and play in as many games as he can. But if you kind of reduce what you're asking of him, I still think he can be somewhat productive as, say, second or third wide receiver somewhere.
For me, I'd go first along the offensive line. Connor Williams of the late of the Dolphins. He's in the prime of his career at being 26 years old right now. And I thought that someone would possibly get him for $12 or $13 million a year. His market is suddenly cold, and I don't really understand why. Maybe they think he's too scheme specific. It's one of those things. Another one, Isaiah Simmons, late of the Giants. Like we mentioned before, hyper athletic, can play safety, can play linebacker. I don't see why he's still sitting at home. Now, as we flip in towards the draft, you mentioned before we started talking that you were looking at film. What were you looking at?
I've actually been looking at some wide receivers, which I guess that's a shock if anyone knows me how much I like the receiver position, but I'm really diving into some guys I haven't got the chance to see as many games as I would have liked. I think a name that could go on day two that's really fascinating to me in certain schemes, if he depending where he lands, is Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. Just kind of that versatile piece that you can really use after the catch and in the intermediate to deep passing game. I think his route running's a little bit more underrated compared to some of these other day two wide receivers that are kind of in that same spot for me. So Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, was one that I was really diving into today. And then another one I think that is really fascinating just because of the whole unfortunate situation he dealt with early in the college football season last year. Didn't get to play in as many games as we would have hoped. Was at the Senior Bowl, didn't have the best showing there, but still really, really interesting potential. Tez Walker out of North Carolina. Got to dive into a little bit more games with him as well. Had some drops at the Senior Bowl, so it'll be interesting to see where teams kind of view him and where he's going to land as far as draft order goes. But those were a couple guys I was lucky to get a little bit more games in on them.
Now, let me ask you a question about both. With Corley, do you take in quality of competition, or do you just evaluate the prospect based on their own talent?
Yeah, pretty much based on their own talent. I think Western Kentucky kind of traditionally been a very pass happy offense, so he's been able to get a lot of chances. So really just kind of dissecting how much of those opportunities he was able to really increase his opportunities and just with the production, how much of it's really benefiting from just him creating it or what was out there.
Now, with Ted Walker, as someone who follows Carolina, one of the things I would actually tell you to look for when you're evaluating him, it's the improvement in his release through the season. When he first start playing because of the NCAA decided to change course, his get off of the line was a lot slower and it became better. You mentioned the drops. Let me ask you this, as someone who follows the game, watch the game. Are drops mental or physical?
I think they're largely mental, and I think it's interesting you mentioned the release on Tez Walker. I thought there was other situations where just kind of the awareness was a little bit off for Tez Walker at certain times this year. There was a couple of turnovers that happened on like some tipped balls or something like that, and I just thought sometimes the spatial awareness was a big part of those drops for me.
Great. Now, when you look at wide receivers, is there one that you have already looked at or that one that you're looking forward to evaluating next?
Honestly, I guess one that I'm looking to getting a little bit more games on. I haven't gotten a chance to see as much as I would have liked on him so far as Ricky Pearsall, and he's actually someone from Florida that his stock is starting to go up, at least in mock drafts. If you've kind of been looking around, I think he's been more kind of second round locked in instead of that maybe third to fourth roundish. So he's interesting to see what maybe is more believable, I guess, diving into more games when I get the chance, just because of what has been discussed about him and his just kind of savviness as a pass catcher. I think one name that I want to go back on and watch a little bit more again that I think was pretty high on early. Still think he could be a wide receiver too somewhere, but I think compared to some other names that were in that mix for late first round guys, I think he's kind of dropped off a little bit is Troy Franklin from Oregon. Didn't have the best combine showing, which again, we know it's not replicating everything you're going to do on the field, but that was a little bit of a tough stretch for him there. So for a smaller guy from Oregon, it's going to be interesting to maybe dive back into certain parts of his games and just see where I really view him going forward.
How can people interact with social media and what's coming up on FPC Chiefs?
Yeah, you guys can follow me at Braden Holacek 9, Braden Holecek, and the number 9. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL. Today just kind of had a quick piece looking at three of the more teams that I think have disappointed so far in the offseason and maybe lacking a clear plan out there. So go check that out. FPC Chiefs going to have a look at Kadarius Toney, maybe what the decision's ultimately going to be on him. Kansas City will have to make a fifth-year option decision if they don't do something with him before that. So Kadarius Toney's going to be kind of the topic for the Chiefs, and then just kind of maybe looking at what positions the Chiefs could address next after what they did the first week of free agency.
For Brendan Holacek, I'm Terrence Spiggs. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Full Press NFL Podcast.